Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man, a little behind schedule as we were talking about the animal kingdom today. But it's funny, I was just talking to Brian McFadden, who's in today for Carl Dukes. Carl's kicking it on the beach. He'll be back next week. It's funny, we talk sports, and you gave some great insight about the NFL and the last contract negotiation. We talked a lot about the Braves. But the one conversation we had today that everyone's going to remember, and the one thing someone will bring up to us next week if I see somebody at the airport was, yeah, man, them snakes are no joke, man. You know, because everybody has an experience with critters, and Squidbill's like, yeah, man, we sound like a bunch of sissies. No, Squid, because I'm a city guy. Look, I don't know nothing about nothing in the animal kingdom. The only thing I know about a chicken getting its head cut off is I was dating a girl from Puerto Rico, and I went down there, and the old man was chopping heads off chickens. That's where the chicken came from.
You told that chicken story.
Things flop around for, I mean, that's like 15 seconds, man. Those suckers are running around, the feathers flying.
I don't want to see a chicken moving with no head.
It's pretty freaky, especially if you've been drinking Bacardi all day. But no, we were talking, if you're just tuning in, about Brian in his stately McFadden manner having to deal with all sorts of critters, including snakes that get jammed up in your nets, which you got to prevent from the deer from eating your flowers. You got a lot of issues, man.
Yeah, black snakes and king snakes, those are the ones you want in your neighbor, in your yard.
This and dude said,
I tried to keep them in my yard.
People on Twitter are lighting this up. And again, I can't read all of the messages we get on our text line at 404-741-0929. But in a nutshell, guy says, yeah, king snakes eat other snakes, hence the name king.
Yeah.
So I guess
I tried it. Like I said, I didn't know those are the ones you want to have in your yard. So I killed both. And then they came back again. One was dead. I think he was the king. The black snake was dead. The king snake was alive. I tried to save the king snake.
Yes.
And he was a bit mad.
Okay. But eventually he slithered away. You later found out.
I cut all the net, and I just threw both of them away.
Shane, one of our listeners on Twitter, says if the snake is venomous, the glands will secrete venom even if the head is off. He says indigo snakes, he's got a picture with one, are harmless and let you pick them up on a cold day. Well, you can enjoy that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that one.
No, real quick, and we'll get to the dog report. I was just telling Brian during the break, the only experience I ever had of living in the country was when I worked in Virginia. I mean, I posted a picture I was showing Brian when I was hosting the Hawaiian Tropic contest in West Virginia.
Ultimate late 80s photo.
West Virginia's always 20 years behind. It was actually 1991, but you're right. It's total big hair from back in the day. I lived in a town called Narrows, Virginia, just down from like where Marty Smith is from ESPN. And we had a nice house. My buddy and I were splitting a house. Of course, back in the 90s, you could rent a four-bedroom house for $400 in the middle of nowhere, Virginia. Yep. But anyway, I had a hammock set up by the river. Got the radio on. I'm just kicking it in the hammock. Got a six-pack. I got some cheese doodles. Because I'm a city guy, no one told me that, like, you know, if you fall asleep with cheese doodles, you might wake up and there's a deer eating the cheese doodles out of the bag. Mm-hmm. But this wasn't just a deer. It's like a deer with, like, antlers. You know, like, could, like, whack you in the head and mess you up. I mean, a doe, you just yell and would fly, it would just flitter away. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, so what do I do? And I couldn't tell. My wife would know because she's hunt deer up in Pennsylvania because she's a redneck. But anyway, as far as the deer, I figured, you know what? I'll play possum. So I just shut my eye, close my eyes. I open one eye, and I see I got a deer here. So I shut my eyes. And then, sure enough, 3 seconds later, boom, gone, like it never happened.
Listen, I don't
but all know. Most of the cheese doodles were gone.
Trying to wait out a deer? Nah, I don't know. I would have thought, you know what? My next move needs to be my best move. I need to really display my quickness right here.
Well, you see, you're an athlete. You can do that. I would break my neck getting out of the hammock and get impaled by a deer's antler. And then I'd be a footnote on a radio show like this. Listen to this story. Some jackass eating cheese doodles just became a human shish kebab by a 10-point buck. You know, that'd be me.
So. Oh, bad.
Anyway, let's hit the dog report.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, man. Interesting story that just came out, and this is on ESPN. Says NCAA coaches' clout concerns athletic trainers. Says 19% of college athletic trainers reported in a recent survey that a coach played an athlete who'd been deemed medically out of participation. This is released on Tuesday by the National Athletic Trainers Association. All right, we all know before the concussion news really broke and everybody finally got their head around CTE, pardon the pun. You ever been so woozy, but you were able to get back on the field in your college or pro days?
Yeah, I've been put to sleep quite a bit. I have incidents where I was put to sleep where I couldn't go back because I didn't remember anything. Right. I had situations where I was put to sleep and then came out for a play or two, smelling salt, and go right back into the line of fire.
Right.
Yeah.
I can remember the first, we talked about this in high school, like the bull in the ring or the Oklahoma drill when you remember getting, and, oh.
Yeah,
you remember that first
drill,
time? First time you had that feeling. Reason I bring this up is you still think now because you've got referees now are in the role where you got to play doctor,
mm-hmm.
and they got officials on the sideline. How much of this do you think is still slipping by? You think they're making this basically sound like
20%? They're doing a pretty good job. I mean, sometimes they're taking players out of the ball game who probably they weren't concussed,
right.
but just from the just being extremely. Careful in how you handle mm-hmm. these players, they're doing that. So I think they're doing a fine job now in policing concussions.
If you missed our Seth Emerson conversation yesterday, guys, about what's up with Holloman, why it took so long to finally get him off the dogs and everything else going on with Georgia, go to our website at 929thegame.com because I got posted on the sidelines of the dogs, brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox. BrightboxElectrical.com, home security, home monitoring, man caves, and more, 770-901-2500. All right, listen to this. California legislature voted. And they said, you know what, let's pass a bill that allows or at least consider allowing college athletes to earn money from their names, images, and likenesses without losing their amateur status, which you and I and people have been lobbying for years. I mean, especially if you're an athlete that's one of the studs on the team and guys are wearing your jerseys in the stands, let's see you get a piece of the action. Or you're on an EA Sports game, just like the Ed O'Bannon case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty forward-thinking move by the folks in California for one thing I could actually agree with those guys. So needless to say, the NCAA is having nothing to do with that.
Yep.
NCAA has basically said that, you know what, guys? Sounds great, but we recognize the efforts that have been undertaken to develop this bill in the context of complex issues. But in a nutshell, they're saying, you know what? If it comes down to a team qualifying for one of our championships and you're actually going to be able to let if the schools are allowing these guys to be compensated for their using their likeness or something.
You can't compete for a championship.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So I do think the NCAA at some point will relent on this. They've sort of they've loosened the reins a little, but we're never actually going to see guys getting what they should get, which is enough of the zillion dollars in TV contracts. Even if you're the 50th guy on the roster, everybody gets a piece of the action.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, that was basically a way for the NCAA to shut down this entire idea, knowing how important championships are to these universities, especially when it comes to the amount of revenue they're able to bring in. So we'll have to wait and see. I can't say this. Based on what we know, you don't have to worry about any school from the state of California competing for a championship anytime soon anyway.
My first thought was, when's USC going to step up to the plate?
UCLA.
Yeah, when are we going to see a team from Stanford not have a one or two losses, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think the Pac-12, once again, will have a representative get into the playoffs.
Stanford goes to UCF, right, Squid? That's one of the early season games. I think Stanford goes to Orlando to play at Central Florida. Whether it's at Central Florida or at the Campers World Stadium, either way, they're on the road.
Yeah.
But no, to your point, when's the next time we're going to see a USC squad step up to the plate? There's a lot of folks, and that seems like a lot of dysfunction with the athletic director. Lynn Swann's gotten heat after Pat Hayden got heat,
mm-hmm.
and they got a coach which, after some initial success, nobody's that fired up about. Some people didn't like the way it played out with Cliff Kingsbury, but how do you say no to an NFL job, right? He was going to be the OC. You got to take only 32 of those jobs.
Exactly, and I don't know how he got that job, but that's another topic of discussion.
Don't get me started. NC2A saying that, if you are going to allow that, it would make it impossible to host fair national championships, et cetera. So don't expect anything to shake on that anytime soon. But nice job from the folks in California,
yeah,
at least
I
running up the flagpole.
This thing relevant. Hopefully there's something that could come from this opportunity.
Hey, man, remember Asa Martin?
Mm-hmm.
He's a former Auburn running back, and now he's at Miami. Well, he is at Miami for the time being. He's back in the transfer portal months after leaving Auburn for the U. The running back reportedly is reevaluating his options. This is reported by Matt Zenitz from AL.com, from Twitter. By entering the transfer portal, Martin is free to have contact with any college football coach. Now, for all the things we just talked about without paying the players, they've totally swung the pendulum the other way now with kids transferring out.
I hate this transfer portal. I really do. Now, I understand in some situations, especially when coaches are, leaving to take other jobs or just, decides to walk away, then it should be an opportunity where these players can really see what options they have. But if you're in a situation where you just can't beat out the person in front of you,
right,
or if you feel like you're not getting an opportunity to really show your worth and you decide to leave, Where's the accountability? Like, you don't get any do-overs in the game of life. It's not like it's a video game you hit reset and start over again.
We always joke around about how guys like you that were recruited, like, for instance, to Florida State, the coaches you have to recruit, whether it's a secondary coach, whoever, kissing your butt, hey, we got to get you to Tallahassee, mom and dad, yada. And then they get you there, and then, of course, the mask comes off, and it's
like,
you see, now your ass is mine. Yeah, get to work.
You know how I handled my recruiting process? When schools were telling me, basically telling me, you will be our starter or you will be our number one guy, that went in one ear out of the other. So now you're telling me the guys you recruited before me are just trash.
Right.
They're just bad.
You're going to come right in
and I'm just going to start over these guys. Now, granted, it could happen, but you're telling me it's going to happen. I don't like that because I believe you're just telling me anything to get me to sign on the dotted line. Tell me I have to come in and compete. Those were the schools I really took to heart as far as, you know, strongly considering going to the teams that kept it real, or I felt like they kept it real. Some of these players, they feel like they're entitled and they want these promises. Please tell me I can come in and I'll be your day one starter without competition. Think about it. That doesn't even make any sense. Right? It doesn't make any sense. So now when you go into these universities.
Especially you're, by the way, Brian went to Florida State, for guys who are new to the show, Brian McFadden filling in. You're going to, you know, DBU, basically.
You're going to, when you talk about these blue blood universities, you're going into a situation where competition is an everyday thing. So if they're telling you you're going to be our day one starter, really?
I want to get some more on this. I want to ask you because I think what you said makes a lot of sense. But what if you're one of these elite superstar quarterbacks? We'll come back. I want to touch on that. We'll talk about the Braves, the fracas. What was that all about with Contreras? He's got a history. And we've also got a conversation about, an hour or so from now. Nick Green's going to join us as part of the big story about the Braves from Fox Sports. Get his perspective on what was happening. We'll be talking plenty more about the shenanigans and also killing wildlife in your backyard here on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell on a Tuesday, just kicking it and having a good time. Craig is on the board. Squid Billy is the brains of the operation. Brian McFadden in for Carl. And I'm Mike Bell. People call me Mike Bell. And we were just doing the dog report. And sometimes we have a good conversation. I don't want to just cut it short because me and Brian were going round and round about the portal. And I think most people agree that the NCAA for years, way too uptight about so many things and the nonsense that they used to enforce, the ticky-tack stuff. But now it's almost like because maybe they feel at some point the big Power Five can just walk away and create their own sanctioning body for football and the NCAA won't get any piece of the action.
Yep.
I don't know. That might be one reason or whatever, that they've gone the other way with this portal now where it was impossible for kids to get out. Now everybody can move around. Question I was asking you, because you were just talking about a kid, and this was from Auburn. It was Asa, the old running back who went down to Miami, and now apparently he's not happy down there because, you know, some guys are just never happy. But and that was Asa Martin we were talking about earlier. Let me just throw this at you real quick. Let's say your kid becomes one of these five-star quarterback recruits that everybody wants. Let's say your kid is up there with, like, Justin Fields level.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, he goes to Georgia. And we still don't know definitively what happened with that kid. If just it didn't fit the playbook, if Chaney couldn't make it work, if just Frump good old-fashioned beat him out, you know, and whatever was promised was not or maybe there was nothing was promised. But just the point I'm getting to is if you got a kid who's that good, who's that upper level, he's got a finite amount of time. He's got 4 years to get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do it quickly. So would you maybe as a dad say, you still got to earn this? Or you say, we're going to take our football and call Ohio State or call Auburn or whoever?
Well, initially for me, if I was the parent of a five-star quarterback and he had an opportunity to go to a university that just had a five-star quarterback lead them to the promised land and lost, and it wasn't because of him,
right?
I'm going to say, look, this kid's going to be a sophomore. He can ball, you can ball. I understand you're competitive and you want to go in to compete, but just understand there's a difference from being competitive and being smart. Because this young kid just took this team to national heights and played well in the championship game. There's a good chance that he will continue to develop and grow. He's already familiar with the system, so now you're playing catch-up. I would have said, let's look at other options.
Okay.
As far as being able to get in the huddle sooner than later. I don't know exactly what promises were made or what was said, but as a high school player, if you're following the footsteps of another high-ranked guy who just became the starter at a one-only position, when I say one-only, there's only one quarterback on the football field at any given time. There's two wide receivers, there are two tackles, there are two guards, one center, one running back, could be multiple running backs. But there's only one quarterback that will play in the offense, as far as starting. Look at your options.
Right. No, the reason I bring it up is it used to be, for instance, I grew up watching Florida State, and they always had a good system of having a quarterback sort of back up for 2 years and then start for 2 years.
Yeah.
And they had a nice rhythm with that.
Yeah.
And then
those
Winkie,
days are gone.
And then Winkie came in and lasted, you know, for 4 years because he was that good. And then I think – were you there for the Chris Ricks years?
Yes, I was.
Oh, God.
We all suffered.
We all suffered.
Yes.
But, no, but again, he was a highly touted quarterback, and they didn't have a plan B, unfortunately.
Yeah. Those days are done where – highly touted quarterbacks go into a situation and they're okay waiting 1 or 2 years. Now, if you're a five-star kid, when you sign with these universities, the expectations, your expectations are to play as a freshman somehow. And then as a sophomore, I should be a starter. That's why you don't see too many high-ranked quarterbacks redshirt nowadays.
Yeah, you plug right in.
Yeah, it used to be redshirting was almost a necessity as far as coming into a situation. Now, these guys are coming in feeling entitled. Like, I'm a top recruit, and because of that, I should find a way to get into the rotation.
Because like DJ Shockley, who works with us here at 92.9 The Game and does a great job with the Falcons, and now with the SECs all over the place, man. But he's a guy that he was a fantastic young quarterback, but the quarterback, David Green, that was there at the time, was still balling and set all sorts of SEC records. We had Justin Fields come in. That's the other thing. If you're the coach, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't go get the top recruit, Georgia lost Justin Fields. And other guys, because Deshaun Watson left, and you know, he went to Clemson because they had him locked in. Trevor Lawrence goes to Clemson. That gets so Kirby's also, you got to keep up with the Jones. And the quarterback situation is fine at UGA. I'm not making that an issue.
Yep.
But it is tough nowadays to really have two superstars on.
Yeah,
in the old days, you'd have all these guys that would be waiting their turn or they could plug in and go.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one university that's doing a phenomenal job in getting top-ranked players at the quarterback spot, Clemson.
Boom. Yeah.
I mean, now they just got a commit who's the top-ranked guy at, in his class, and he will be graduated in 2020, so he will be a part of the 2020 recruiting class. But by that time, he understands Trevor Lawrence will be pretty much on his last year.
NFL,
yeah,
right.
So that's an ideal situation to walk in. But I was a bit confused about the Justin Fields situation. Signing to Georgia, it really didn't make any sense to me because Jake Fromm was a true freshman. I mean, he didn't play bad. I mean, when Jake Fromm's basically moved Jacob Eason out of the way.
Yeah, and took Georgia to a national championship game. I mean, as a freshman, that's it.
Yeah, so how do you expect this guy to lose his job?
And I thought, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're not rehashing the Justin Fields, but it's just as a conversation we're having, because I asked.
With the transfer
portal. Yeah, Brian, I said, with the transfer portal, if you got a kid, and he said he never would let his kid, look, Fromm had established himself, there's no point in going, there's other schools you can go plug in right now at quarterback.
Yeah.
But as far as Fields, I thought they were going to use him the way Florida did, like Chris Leak, when they had Tebow.
Yeah.
And they would utilize him a little bit more, but that was never, for whatever reason, in the offense.
Exactly. And the only time you saw Justin Fields in the ball game, he was using his legs more than his arms. So I don't know exactly.
And you wasted situation. A year of eligibility for basically nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I think he's happy where he is now, but it goes to tell you a lot of these kids that are getting recruited by all these universities, you got to do your due diligence. Understand and study the roster. Do not listen to promises. If they're telling you promises, you might want to explore other options.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is a guy that, I mean, some NFL teams, if they could, they draft him right now.
Well,
you know, for how good he looks.
Preach.
And as a defensive back, how blown away are you by how smooth he looks?
Listen, young gun can play. I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm a Florida State guy, so I hate everything Clemson related. I don't like Clemson.
And they've become
all.
Us. When I say us,
yes,
Florida State.
Yes, they have. And the way they've been able to do that because they have stability at the most important positions, and not to mention the coaching that they're receiving. One thing about Clemson, think about this, Mike. They've been a quality, consistent powerhouse over the last 4-plus years. They don't lose any coaches.
Nope.
For whatever reason, I don't know what's going on in Clemson. You don't see other universities plucking coaches away from Dabo's staff like they're doing Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, other elite powerhouses in college football. They've been able to maintain a quality staff, and because of that, they have quality structure.
That's the thing. It was, I think, Chad Morris left, but that's just the one guy a couple years ago. And as you know, Clemson just keeps on rolling. I've always said, and Kirby now, two ways of doing it. Kirby is like Saban light. You know, we've done everything but win the championship. Georgia fans are happy, but we've got to bring home the bacon. To me, Dabo is a lot like Bowden because I don't know if it mattered to you specifically, but you know, Bobby was a faith-based guy. You know, it was a real family vibe. Yeah, plus he had great assistants. And you know, what was Bobby? He was the CEO, and he would recruit. And then you had guys like Mickey Andrews and Mark Richt before you got there. That you had really, really top line coaches. That's what Clemson's got, and it's just a recruiting pipeline. And now, if you're in, plus the ACC, to be quite honest, quite winnable.
Yeah, it is. And when you win that championship, you know, other things happen, not to mention as far as the upgrading facilities, you know, staying on and staying right there in the race when it comes to making sure you have top tier everything, equipment, you know, training staff, not to mention getting players. I mean, and they have developed players. That's the thing about Clemson. It's not about getting five-star guys. They're getting four stars and three stars and have developed these guys tremendously, and they're just winning. And when you find you a quarterback, I mean, Taj Boyd was the first big fish at the quarterback position, and then eventually Deshaun came around. Kelly Bryant, he kind of, you know, babysat the position.
And Dabo made the right decision.
Yes. And a lot of people were like, what is Dabo doing? Remember, he faced a lot of criticism. And Kelly Bryant was a guy that earned the right to start. But now everybody is seeing Dabo knows he knew exactly what he was doing.
I remember the year that I guess he was coming off the injury that they could have started. They could have started Deshaun Watson against Florida State. That was the Jameis suspension game,
in Tallahassee.
Clemson should have won, but because they went, was it Stout Squid was the backup? It was the starting quarterback, Kelly Stout. I mean, either way, I'll find the name, but they went with him as opposed to Deshaun. Once they plugged in Deshaun,
lost by a field goal.
Yeah, things
like
got
that.
Rolling. Yeah, went
and
to
Sean
OT.
McGuire started for Florida State, if I'm not mistaken.
Look at you. Yeah. So that's the thing, and I think Dabo said never again. You know, I'm going to plug in the best athlete, gives me the best chance to win. Period. Yeah. Now, as far as Georgia, Fromm's got all the weapons. The thing with Georgia, how do you, as a player, I didn't like the way the season ended for Georgia because you had no new prerogative for players because it's a business, and these guys now, I think you would agree, Brian, they get it more than ever. It's a business. DeAndre Baker made a business decision, but I think it kind of got things screwy. Some of the guys in the defense, like he's a leader on this team, and he's not playing. They sleptwalked against Texas in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bad taste in your mouth.
They just slept. They didn't walk. Honestly, they just laid down and just took it. They didn't come out.
How do you shake that off, by the way? You just knew.
You gotta have some pride about yourself. And when I watched that game, the first thing I said, Mike, they lack leadership. Leadership is missing because even though you're not playing in the game you would like to play, look yourself in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
Right.
You're the reason why you're not in the postseason play as far as playoffs. But yet and still, you got an opportunity to really finish the season with a big time check mark against an elite program, blue blood program in Texas. Right. And you lay down. And I hate when people say, well, they didn't want to be there. What excuse is that?
Yeah, and remember, that was the argument the Georgia fans were putting out. But remember, we went round and round with you guys, some Georgia fans. Losing to your two best opponents on your roster is not a resume builder to put you in the semifinal championship game.
Exactly. So you didn't deserve to be where you wanted to be. You had an opportunity. You control your own destiny.
Hey, let me ask you this because it brings up a great question, especially because you were in some years where Florida State, it was starting to go a little bit south with Coach Bowden, and things were getting weird because his son, and don't get me started on the OC. But how do guys check out? Is that just part of the bowl period? If you're not playing, especially nowadays in a big game, guys are already thinking about the NFL?
No question, guys check out. And when guys check out, instantly you can see it, you can feel it. But that's where the leaders step in and correct that issue before it become a field issue.
Who's your upperclassman taking charge, right?
Yeah, guys, you got to have upperclassmen. And instantly I saw Georgia, the lack of leadership really showed big time in the Sugar Bowl against Texas. They came out flat. No one checked anybody. Mm. No one got guys together. And I believe it started the week of preparation. It didn't just start game night. They came out. They got to New Orleans, probably was flat. Because you know what? They were pouting.
Well, Alabama's lost in that Sugar Bowl to Oklahoma and Utah, and the excuse is always, well, you know, once we're – nah, but you still – I mean, you got to compete. It's on national TV. Yes. And you're, where's your pride, Willie? Remember any given Sunday?
Yes.
Brad McFadden, you're part of something. Hoorah. We'll come back. Hey, Squid, what do you got for Yeah Man, No Man? You got good questions? Gives a big thumbs up. It's on the way next.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
As Squid Billy comes bounding into the studio, real quick, a reminder, guys, tomorrow night we got your United coverage right here, 7 o'clock pregame. 7 o'clock, the party starts at Hobnob Neighborhood Tavern in Brookhaven, and then you'll see it and hear it, of course, if you're listening at 929thegame.com, radio.com. Hear Conti and Jason Longshore with the call. But if you're looking for a great time with other United fans, you go hang out at Hobnob starting at 7 o'clock over there in Brookhaven. Great sports bar, good vibe, cool scene, great food and drinks, plus Atlanta United prize giveaways. That's coming up tomorrow. All right, man, here's Squid Billy. What you got for your first question, man?
I don't know, just trying to manly this room up a little bit after you guys sissified it with all the right, wildlife talk.
What's the last time you slew an animal or critter out there in the wild?
I mean, I don't know what counts.
Well, I mean, when's the last time you had an encounter with a snake, as in Brian did, Or, I mean,
it's actually
something that you're afraid of.
For me, well, I don't like spiders either, but snakes. It's been a while because.
As Jim Stafford used to sing.
Because I lived in Buckhead for 7 years. Now that I'm back out here in the wild, I know one's coming soon.
Got coyotes up there?
Oh, yeah, there's coyotes out there.
So are you armed? I know you're armed.
Yes, I'm armed, but you can't. I don't think my neighbor will take kindly to me shooting a coyote in my backyard, considering he's got kids and you can clearly see his house from mine. I mean, even though I would hit the coyote, sure he would just probably frown upon that.
Brian McFadden, real quick, my dad, who was a New York City cop, when we moved out to the suburbs, and we finally had his beautiful like suburban deck in the backyard, so he always wanted to have a deck off the back of the house. Never had that before. We lived in different types of tighter surroundings. So he finally gets out there. He's got the deck. He's got the cable run out to the back. He's watching the Mets ball game. He's got a drink in his hand, and all of a sudden, acorns start falling. Nuts. The squirrels up in the trees are dropping nuts.
Really?
Next thing you know, the old man's up on the roof with a .22 rifle.
He's shooting squirrels.
Needless to say, Nassau County Police Department frowned on that. The old man had to show the shield as my old man was blasting squirrels. All right, Squid, what do you got?
Squirrel soup later. All right. So we've all heard about the Wilson Contreras-Tyler Flowers incident. Well, back in 2016, Contreras had an incident with Jeff Francoeur, who was playing for the Braves at the time.
They showed it last night on Fox.
They did. That was Francoeur's last year with the Braves. They later traded him to the Marlins later in the year. Well, they showed the video, and Francoeur responded to the video.
Well, as you can see, he threw one way in, and he yelled something to Hector Rondon, and I kind of looked at him, and then he basically said a few things. And now looking back when you're done, quite frankly, I wish I had just thrown a haymaker. Been done with it. If I knew that was my last year, I would have.
Frenchie's been so awesome, and him. Especially, I love when him and Glavine get together because you get the hitter and you get the pitcher perspective.
Yep.
But Jeff Francoeur doing a fantastic job in his first year at Fox, man.
So Wilson Contreras saw this on Twitter, or someone told him about it, and he responded. He said, "That makes me laugh. What can I say about that, man? ? Poor guy. That's all. He's just a poor guy, man. It makes me laugh." It makes me laugh. He should behave as a professional, you know? If he's going to be behind the screen, he should be a professional. He was a ball player. He played a lot, but now he's behind the screen. He should have respect for everyone. He knows, and he knows better. He knows how things go in the field. That's it. He's a poor guy.
Yeah.
So basically, Contreras thinks Francoeur crossed a line as now a broadcaster for a team.
No, he's saying I probably should have wailed on you because everybody thinks Wilson Contreras is a punk anyway.
Well, I don't disagree, but that Francoeur did cross the line. Now we get on to guys now for criticizing. Right. What was the old curmudgeon in Pittsburgh?
If an angry old white guy isn't like a guy with gold chains, that's got to be an angry old white guy. Here's a guy in Frenchie who just stepped away. He's 2 years removed from playing baseball with this guy pulling the same stuff, saying I probably should have wailed on him.
And he's giving his opinion based on a personal dealing with the player. You know what I mean? Actually, I think I like it because it was real and it was raw. It would be one thing if he wasn't actually involved in an incident with the aforementioned player. But he was, right?
You know what? I'm thinking now, Max Fried, chin music. I think we need to put one right in his ear hole when Contreras gets up there.
You can't, though. No, you can't do
that. He'll get run because Fried will get run immediately. I know.
They sent the warnings yesterday, and I guarantee as quick as they did the warnings, I guarantee they'll talk to them. First guy to do it. Remember, Gausman threw behind.
That was the Marlins.
Was it Urena?
Urena, but it was a terrible beanball attempt. Yeah, it was a terrible attempt.
But he threw behind him.
He hit him in the butt. Hit him in the shoulder.
That had almost been a year later, and immediately he was gone.
He was gone. Yeah. The best way to have the final laugh, if you just go out and just ball, just dominate, embarrass them.
We're going to talk, by the way, speaking of Fox Sports, we got Nick Green. He's going to join us to tell us his take if Fried and the Braves can bounce back against the Cubbies and if there's going to be more fallout from the Contreras shenanigans last night with what we saw with Tyler Flowers.
For the record, I loved what Francoeur said. I agree with him. I just wanted to throw the question.
As Brian said, it was entertaining. It was good TV.
Yeah.
All right, so it's been very documented how our building is under construction and the parking deck has been minimized. And, Carl's talked about it before. It takes a while sometimes to find a parking spot.
Yeah, because there are none.
So when you see a car in here, maybe park a little bit over or
taking up two spaces,
you kind of get irritated.
Right.
Now, this morning when I parked, I got out, and for some reason I turned, and the car behind me had something on their windshield. So the nosy part of me walked over. Okay. I was like, what's on here? I didn't realize how the car was parked. It was double parked. Someone had wrote a note. Hi, everyone. I'm an a-hole, moron, with a mediocre car who can't park properly.
Wow.
I'm the worst. I take up two spots because I'm a blanking idiot.
That's funny.
So someone wrote that note on that car.
They did. And I'll tweet the note in a minute because I've edited. No. It was not me. For one, I didn't have a piece of paper, nor I take time. I normally just cuss at the person as I drive by. Or I have a big truck, so sometimes if they're really over, I'll just park on top of them and be like, have fun with it. But you cross a line cussing at a person through a note in a parking deck when you'll never actually see the person, most likely.
I'm going to say no, man. I think sometimes some people are so inconsiderate and such jerkwads that they need a visual aid in the form of a handwritten note or in the dust on the windshield.
I agree. I say no, man, also because when you exit your car, you instantly see if you park correctly or not. And knowing the situation here in the garage, knowing how difficult it is to find parks, don't allow somebody else not to be able to park when you're taking up 1.5 spaces.
Bingo.
For the record, I would love to meet the person who wrote the note, and they can have a hey man on me because I'm very proud
of that person. Deserves a hey man.
You probably met the person today, just don't know they wrote the note.
I hope so. I'd love to just have a conversation with this person. All right. You guys ever heard of the golfer named Clement Barato?
Never heard of him.
Never.
That's probably a reason. He's not very good.
Okay.
But he was DQ'd from a Challenge Tour event over the weekend for, wait for this, running out of golf balls.
It's happened before.
Wow.
So it had been a rough round. He's clearly a Frenchman. He was 10 over
par. Yeah, Barato, he could be Spanish. He could be Portuguese. I don't think our average listener knows.
I just told you he's a Frenchman.
Now you're yelling at me again.
It says he was a Frenchman.
I'm sure.
So he was 10 over par at the time of his disqualification. He began his day with a quadruple bogey 9 on the first, then bogeyed the 6 in 8 holes to make the turn into 6 over at 40 on 41. It got worse from there. He double bogeyed the 10th and dropped shots on the 14th and the 15th. On the par 5 16th, he lost his final ball in the bag and embarrassingly had to head back to the clubhouse.
Wow.
So, yeah, man, no, man. And I know you don't play much.
Yeah, I don't play much.
But you've ever ran out of balls or ran out of used so many that you thought you were about to run out?
No, I buy mine in bulk because and guys make fun of my yellow balls because I always know where my balls are.
Why do you get yellow?
Because it's easy to find.
Okay.
When you, let's say, especially if you're playing with three hacks like me, we're all in the same skill set. We're all going to land in the same spot for the most part. I know immediately that mine is the yellow Callaway.
I got you.
You know, I used to play with Dave Archer, who you hear on Falcons Radio with Wes, and be like, oh, look at this guy with yellow balls. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not an NFL quarterback who hits at 300 yards. Yellow balls, easy to find, buy them in bulk. I do.
Or you could just maybe put a dot or your initials on the ball like a lot of regular people
do. I know immediately
did.
Where I'm at. And yellow balls are the way to go, kids. That's what you should be
Mike
with.
Mike wants to go directly to his ball.
Thank you. And I always buy them in bulk. I buy them like by the two dozen, three dozen. I've always got a lot of balls. But some people, you already knew that.
Well, half of what he's saying, I do agree. I don't agree with the yellow ball. It's just a weird thing to do. It's kind of
time out. I'll tell you what a weird thing to do is to aim at 10 o'clock on your drive, and then the ball slices all the way over to 3 o'clock. That's how you swing a golf club.
Hey, you play your game, I'll play mine. But here's the thing. Actually, I've worked on it.
You've improved.
I've kind of straightened it out since we played, Mike, because I might have played with a former quarterback who you just mentioned, and we worked on my tempo. Mm-hmm. So, it's working out for me. But it doesn't matter. This segment's over. Craig, hit the music.
Craig wasn't paying attention. Oh, no, Craig's paying attention. The computer has died again for the third time this week. You like to end emphatically with like some WWE-style walk-off music, and now you don't have it. It ruins the whole segment.
There it is. Drop,
I saw Bob Rappin. I saw Bob Rappin jamming to this. Yeah, right.
Love some DMX.
Drop. Squid Billy, he's producing this train wreck. We'll come back. We got a Falcon report. How does Matt Ryan stack up with the best of the best of the best?
Ooh.
Sir, Brian McFadden is in for Carl Dukes. We've also got plenty more on that Braves fiasco last night. We got Bad Julio last night, and Snicker let him keep pitching. What the heck?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.